Well, hello. This time I've decided to do something a little different. And I'm going to play you a slightly edited excerpt from the church service today, beginning from the prayers of the day. And hopefully you'll be able to hear and understand the readings of the day. I'm not sure that they're that clear, but hopefully you'll be able to understand them. And so without further ado, the fourth Sunday after Trinity.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee, and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lord of love, we lay our hearts upon thy shrine, praying that thou wilt accept, purify, and enkindle them, so that they may forever glow with the undying fire of thine infinite compassion, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God throughout all ages of ages.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, from whom cometh every good and perfect gift, send down upon our bishops and clergy and upon the congregations committed to their charge the healthful spirit of thy grace, and that they may truly please thee, pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessing, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Teach us, O Lord, to see thy life in all men and in all the peoples of thine earth, and so guide the nations into the understanding of thy laws, that peace and goodwill may reign upon earth, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The epistle is taken from the fourth chapter, the first epistle general of St. John, beginning at the seventh verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Here is the theme.
He that loveth wisdom loveth life, and in a seeker early shall be filled with joy. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall keep it with my heart. shining more and more into the perfect day. Cleanse my heart and my lips, O God, who by the hand of thy servant didst cleanse the lips of the prophet Isaiah with a burning coal from thine altar. And in thy loving kindness so purify me that I may worthily proclaim thy holy gospel through Christ our Lord. May the Lord be in my heart and on my lips, that through my heart the love of God may shine forth, and through my lips his power be made manifest.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
The Holy Gospel is taken from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. These things I command you, that you love one another.
Praise
be to me, O Christ. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm glad to be back on deck again,
even though I'm not celebrating. Interesting year it is, isn't it? All sorts of challenges this year. But we carry on regardless, in spite of all these things. Everyone's invited to enjoy and share morning tea and fellowship in the church hall after the service. Please feel free to come and join us and have a chat. Okay, thank you for that. And our talk this morning is by Father David.
Thank you, Father George.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Well, hello again, everyone. It's me again. I seem to always be doing this stuff at the moment. That's okay, though. That's good. So, today is the fourth Sunday after Trinity, and our intent for this week is God as love. If today we want to consider God as love, and that we worship God best by loving God, and therefore loving each other, the question arises, how do we do that? Because if we do not love, then we are missing the mark, are we not? We are not practicing the spiritual law. We are not following the two greatest commandments. Because a lot of us do it badly. As Paul says about spiritual law in Romans 7, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And that's, for a lot of us, that is our experience when we attempt to do good. There are really two important messages from our readings that we had today. The first is that love casteth out fear. which is to say, when fear is, love is not. And when love is, fear is not. Thus, if there is any fear in you, then there is not the perfect love, agape. Meaning, this love is clearly not what most people think love is, because most people think they are in this love when they are yet still in fear. Most people are in fact acting out of fear and fears an awful lot of the time, yet still believe they are acting in love. And this is definitely not love. This is a very, very important thing to understand. If you are acting out of fear of any kind, you are not acting out of love or acting in love. There is not love in you, but a false image, an eidolon or idol of love, pretending to be love. So, how many of us, how much of the time, can we say we are without fear? So that's the first important message. The second important message is in the metaphor of the vine, with a husbandman and branches off the vine as one way to for understanding the love, which is the life in us of Christ. So we are all branches from the vine. Our life comes directly from the vine. If we cut ourselves off from the vine, we lose our life. And the vine is Christ Jesus in this reading. Jesus is saying he is the vine, loved by his father, the husbandman, or I guess viticulturist. That's what we call it these days. So the viticulturist looks after the vine, and the vine looks after its own branches. The branches, if they try to live without the vine, will fail. But what does this mean? Does it mean we're supposed to cry out that Jesus is our own personal savior and then try to live according to the commandments in the Bible? That's what the Baptist, Anabaptist, Church of Christ, and all those more fundamentalist churches basically say, isn't it? Those guys can actually be very good people in many cases and very good Christians. So it can be a valid approach, even though they have an access to our sacraments and our learning. In fact, as Steiner points out, Christianity spread far and wide without very good intellectual understanding of its underlying principles and was still a tremendous force for good during the whole period of European enlightenment as the world of Hellenic learning gradually retreated back into a collection of weak and isolated city-states in the 1,000 years from 200 to 1200. So the good that was done by Christianity was sustained in the European people by the great exemplars, the saints and perfecti, whose examples, ideas and practices helped many people have better lives, which in turn helped many others down through time, in spite of all the problems and failures the church had from the late 2nd century onward. Somehow, the people of Christendom, despite really not knowing what they were doing, were to a large extent abiding in Jesus, that his love and life could abide in them. So, given our knowledge gained through all of the rediscoveries of the last 2 centuries, we should have it even better. But apparently, we do not. For when Paul says, "The good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do," this is clearly even more true of us today. Why? Because the emotional understanding of love which sustained us in the world where knowledge was meager is an insufficient understanding of love in a world where knowledge is very great. Indeed, a world where people openly talk about hacking humans in order to enslave them, and these people are actually lauded by our so-called public servants, elected representatives, and policy experts, has gained too much of the wrong kind of knowledge. The kind of knowledge which has always been associated with the abyss of the outer sphere, the abyss between our lives and the world of our hidden father, the moral abyss of relativism, where only might is right, a moral abyss which hides itself in the vicissitudes of socialism and liberalism, and high-sounding terms like, quote, the common good, or equity, or sustainability, and inclusiveness, yet are deceitful receptacles of all measure of unclean and evil acts, and the mechanism for pulling men, women, and their offspring into the very pit of despair. Such is the knowledge of the world today. The knowledge called in Hebrew, Da'ath, fruit of the evil tree. So why is it that with all our extra spiritual knowledge and extra knowledge of religions, of early Christianity, of theosophy, anthroposophy, philosophy, life-saving technologies, we stand at the abyss? Because almost all of us are living in fear, a kind of chronic unconscious fear that is so ubiquitous we hardly even feel it much anymore. But it lives in our conditioned reflexive behaviours, thoughts and attitudes, including our obeisance to authority without the right questioning spirit with which authority must always be faced so that authority knows it must be good or it will be overturned. This fear is our conditioning. It lives in our unwillingness to defend our own rights, our tired and frankly shameful lack of gumption, our trust in experts who are in truth no more than snake oil salesmen. It lives in our desire for our own convenience at the expense of doing what is good and proper. It lives in our stress and anxiety over the state of this or that, our lives, our world. It lives in our every unhappiness, disappointment, illness. And it is behind attitudes as disparate as resentment and righteousness. It is the fear arising from having lost ourselves, forgetting our immortal nature and kinship with the divine, falling asleep in the quagmire of life's endless dust, problems and concerns that are just so very, very serious they take all our attention. So we dwell in an entire world of mostly invisible fear, a fear which is the basis of all our torment and pain. In fear, love is not. And no amount of feeling love and attempting to project it outward will any longer suffice for the world as it is now. Love will arise when fear is absent, and fear will vanish when love is present. What then is the love which casteth out fear? It is emphatically not a feeling. Any feeling you feel will only go to war with other feelings and conflict will ensue. The chronic fear will not be ended. It is not a thought and not an action. For again, all thoughts and actions must have their opposites and bring forth conflict and further conditionings, further fear. Instead, it is the space of feeling. Space of thought and the space of action. In truth, it is the space to be. How do you love your brother? That's what we're told to do, isn't it? Love our brother. Make space for him to be exactly as he is. How do you love your enemy? bring about in yourself the space for him to be exactly as he is. So he is within the space of you. He is then a part of you, and his hurtful actions immediately hurt him. For in hurting you, he hurts himself. How do you love yourself? By making space for you, by you, that you may begin to learn who you are, who you truly are. For how can you love yourself when you don't even know yourself? Finally, how do you love the One? Be that space which is the space where the One is. Space of the One. Then, I say, you'll really discover something. Thank you for listening.
And now to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, three persons in one God, be ascribed all honor, might, majesty, power, and dominion, now and forevermore.
Find a way to crooked land.